Morning. Morning. See, gonna get started just a second. Okay, I'm what I'm looking for. See, may read this. I'm not sure if I'm going to, but I may. Let me see. Well, I'm going to go ahead and make sure, get everything ready to get started. Did you have a nice weekend?
Oh
You're on. Okay, good.
Did you guys have a good weekend?
We did. We had a guest over this weekend, and then Rachel had a birthday party, and then we went to church, which was really good. So, yeah,
No,
I got
that
all
sounds like
these things.
a good weekend.
Okay, so we're going to get started. I wanted to share, kind of in light of what's been going on in our lovely world. I wanted to talk about how we kind of got here to this point. And it's interesting because history plays out what's been going on in regards to current state of affairs. So really not much is different other than it's in our generation. So it seems, I don't know, obviously very impactful. And so I thought to myself, how can we live in a world where we all believe in some level of truth, and we're going to get into that because it's when we speak truth and how we speak it where sometimes that becomes problematic. And how do we reckon that to us living authentically, us living courageously, and in a sense, and this is why I've titled it, Be Courageous and Stand Up for Truth, no matter what the cost. Because we will be challenged, especially those of the Christian faith, will be challenged for what we believe in, not simply because it's wrong. We stand for Christian truth because we believe it to be true, and the challenge that we're going to face is, and it's interesting, the message that was spoke yesterday talked about this, and kind of God was already leading me in this direction anyways, in light of some things that happened. And we all know the events of last week and even weeks before that. I was interesting listening to somebody speaking in regards to the last, I guess, 6 months. I don't know exactly the dates, but the school shootings, the woman that was killed on the subway in Charlotte, Charlie Kirk, and so many other things that have happened. Whenever we see that kind of violence come out, it draws our attention, especially when there's a death. And I shared last week when, because many of you, if you've not seen it, it is on the internet. But when you have a live assassination per se, it brought back memories, even though I wasn't born, of John F. Kennedy, where people were able to witness something so tragic. And I kind of also liken it to 9/11. And one of those situations where something just rocks our world. We will probably never ever forget where we were at that moment of 9/11, because when evil roars up its head, it just kind of shocks us. And we're going to be talking about that a little bit with this, because evil is so, in the situation with 9/11 and the assassination of Charlie Kirk and assassination of John F. Kennedy, it's very clearly seen when somebody is removed and murdered in that situation. So, and I search the scriptures and ask God, give me some direction in regards to how do we, in our faith, speak up boldly, knowing that when we do, it's going to run contrary to and create fear in us, because for different reasons. One is there are people who are just adamant against the belief of Christianity. And there's also the situation where people are going to shun us, or they're going to make fun of us, or whatever. And I know myself growing up, I was very much bullied as a child. And so that helped form my people pleasing because I didn't like being bullied. I was somewhat fear-ridden because of my childhood. And those types of things keep us from being courageous because, one, we don't want to make any waves. We don't want to offend people. And just in the very light of truth, truth is by its nature very divisive simply because not everybody's going to agree with what that is. And so we're going to get into that. Like the lesson today is be courageous and stand up for truth no matter what the cost. Like I said, truth by its very nature is divisive. The word of God changes a person and it can't help but not to. And I'm going to explain how that works because when we look at somebody, and I'm going to be referencing Charlie Kirk something because it's currently relevant. It's all over the internet. And it portrays the character, and we talked last week about the character of someone like a Charlie Kirk, and I'm not trying to deify him. I'm just trying to speak the truth of my understanding. And I did actually didn't meet him, but I did hear him speak in a conference. Amy and I both heard him speak. And if you have nothing other to say, the man spoke what he believed, and that is very powerful. And I think sometimes when we speak for what we believe in, there is going to be challenges to our belief system, challenges to our faith. And the question is, are we willing to stand up for what we believe in, regardless of what may happen? And a lot of times, because of fear, because of the potential consequences of our actions, we may limit what we say, we may limit what we do. And we're going to talk about that, why that kicks in. And we're going to really talk about really how Christ behaved, how he spoke, who he spoke to, and the things that he said that were so different in regards to speaking. He never questioned, never compromised truth. He always spoke truth, but he did it in a way that was very respectful. And you know, when I reference Charlie Kirk, I'm going to be referencing that because, like I said, one, I've listened to him, I've heard him speak. We may not agree with what he said and how he said it. But you have to respect anyone who speaks up for what they believe in passionately and respectfully. And we're going to talk about that. So, like I said, the word of God changes the person. You shall know the truth and think about what Christ said. You shall know the truth, and the truth will set you free. And we're going to be talking about truth because when Christ said, "You shall know the truth," and he pointed it back to himself and says, "I am the way, the truth, and the life." He recognized, one, because he was God, he knew what he was sharing was going to be ultimate truth that was going to be able to deliver people. Because, and I probably will say this every week, it all goes back to the garden. When Adam and Eve fell and disobeyed, they came into the control of the enemy. That's why in some respects, God gave Adam and Eve control, power over the earth. When they disobeyed, they basically surrendered that power over to the enemy. Which is, and I say that because when you look at when Jesus was tempted, Satan actually was telling, "I will give you everything in regards to my possession," which basically was the domain of the earth. And he had the ability to say that because of what happened in the garden. And Christ is saying, "When he came, I've delivered you from slavery. I am the truth. If you come unto me, you will be set free from the domain of the enemy." So it's very important to understand when we talk about truth, we talk about good versus evil. We're really talking about that knowledge of good and evil. And it starts at the very beginning. Man possessed the knowledge of good and evil, somewhat of what God had knowledge of. And that's why they wanted to be like God. That's why the temptation was like that. But the risk and damage and danger is we don't have the ability to sustain and fully grasp evil because our tendency to go towards it. And so we're going to get into that. I don't want to get into the weeds here. So you shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. So the word of God changes until it will become an epistle. An epistle basically is a spokesman, a speaker for God or of God. The word transforms the mind, and this is very important to understand. The word transforms the mind, changes the character, and gives us an inheritance in the spirit until we are conformed to do his image and character. Ultimately, God's desire, remember in the garden, we were created in the image of God. Christ's presence on earth and his behavior, we are to model that to be what God said in the very beginning. We were created. When we sinned and disobeyed, and that was passed on to generation and generation, we no longer, quote unquote, in our character, exhibited the image of God. That's why Christ had come and dwell our spirit so that we could become more conformed to like Christ was, not in his physical appearance, but in his character. And when you see the blatant views of evil versus good manifested, i.e. in the murder of a Charlie Kirk, you see the mindset of one who would actually do that kind of thing. And it's interesting, it starts in the thinking, and I don't want to get too deep into it, but when we understand, and I've done a lot of searching this week on what makes people do and choose evil things. A lot of it has to do with what they're allowing into their mind, and what happens goes into your mind ends up becoming your thinking process. And if your heart tends towards evil, towards wickedness, then you're going to act and behave that which you put into your mind. So that's why the Word of God is so important, because when our mind is penetrated by the Word of God, we act out that which we read, that which we know, that which we habitually do. But if your mind is not even open to that, and you're putting in your mind things that are more susceptible towards evil, and understand the enemy is very, very sneaky. All you have to do is look at the Genesis and many of the stories where he tempted. And we have to understand that we've got to very much protect our mind. The Bible talks about guarding your thoughts, guarding your mind, putting those things that are holy, pure, because what ends up coming out of that is either going to be good or evil. And there's subtleties, or what's the word I'm looking for? There's those that are blatantly evil and those that are kind of on the way to evil per se. And if they don't control their mind will be controlled by that which they're being tempted and seduced by. And the Bible's full of that. So the word transforms the mind, changes the character, gives inheritance in the spirit till we are conformed to his image and character. Our thinking processes are largely subject to the law of habit. So basically that which we do, I've taught lessons on, you know, typically your subconscious is what controls your behaviors and your actions. Your subconscious is simply programming what you do on a daily basis. And so and that's why your subconscious pretty much makes the decisions for you. So if you have run across something, your subconscious is going to go to its file system of how did I behave in a similar situation like this before? And if you don't have the programming of the Word of God helping you to discern, decipher, use wisdom and application, you're going to behave almost like a robot. You're just going to do what you normally have done, and you're going to stop thinking. And when I mean stop thinking, you're going to stop consciously thinking, recognizing what's the truth in this matter. Because if you don't think and you just respond, you're typically going to respond based on your habitual patterns. That's why it's so important that you train yourself as a disciple, as a follower, to understand what does the Bible say in this particular situation. So our thinking process is largely subject to the law of habit. We must develop the habit of godly thinking in order to change any behavior continually reinforced will become a conditioned person. So I added this in a little bit late, and this is often what a lot of individuals will go to. They will label somebody like Hitler or Nazi. And a lot of times this is a tactic used in debate if they disagree. Because when you think of Nazi, you think of Hitler automatically, even though it was beyond our time, it was before our time, it automatically triggers evil. And when people think of evil, they shut down, they have a stereotype or a thought, an ideology about what that means as it's associated with that other person. I'm only using this reference here because if you've studied Hitler and you studied Nazi Germany, there was an ideology that was, and the media was controlled, by the way. I don't, just to give you an example, everything that came in Germany at that time was controlled by the government. And so they basically, what's the word I'm looking for? Brainwashed. They brainwashed the people. And of course, to a point where they eliminated or tried to eliminate a whole entire race, which would have been the Jews. And so when you look at it from a historical standpoint, the Jews were the recognized people. Jesus came from the Jews. And so the enemy, when I say the enemy, Satan wanted to destroy, historically, has wanted to destroy the Jews and has tried multiple times in history. The book of Esther is a good example about that. And so when you understand the enemy's tactic is to destroy the Jewish nation, i.e., and I would probably bet that Hitler was basically, what's the term I'm looking for? Obviously heavily influenced, but he may have been, what's the term, when you're possessed, sorry. I believe he was possessed because one of the things he did was try to destroy the Jewish nation. So he was being used by the enemy in regards to evil to destroy an entire race. He had the ability through the brainwashing techniques that they used to actually begin to infiltrate the minds of the people in Germany, even the higher ups like the judges. I don't know if anybody who's ever seen the Nuremberg trials or heard about it. These judges actually rationalized the murder of the Jewish nation, trying to do that. And the reason that is because on a daily basis, they were fed propaganda. They were fed lies viewed as truth. And that's why it's important we understand the difference between truth and error. They were fed that to a point they actually believed the very lie that they were behaving and acting towards. And that's why it's important we understand what truth is. We live in a society right now that has what I would call, and I'm putting in quote, multiple truths that aren't true. And one of the things that many of the people that we're going to discuss today, and I use Charlie Kirk because it's more recent, but we can reference Martin Luther King, we can do Lincoln, Reagan, who was an attempted assassination, Trump, who had an attempted assassination. People who are trying to silence people who are speaking whatever they believe in truth in the situation, regardless of how you may feel about certain people that I mentioned, they stood up, boldly stood up, and they were trying, people attempted to take them down for their belief system, for their truth. And one of the things when we look at it compared to the Christ, Christ never advocated violence. He did speak truth and he ticked off a lot of people. But one of the things that I really love about our country is we have the ability to speak truth in regards to somebody else's truth. And one of the things that that Charlie spoke on and is common sense that there are only two genders. I'm just using that as an example. And we live in a world right now where that is even being questioned, the reality of something that's always been known to be true. And when you open the door, and I'm using the term truth, because we're going to look at what truth is, and if we don't have a grasp on truth, we're going to be open up to error. And the enemy deals in error. The enemy deals in subtleties, and he twists the truth. When that's why I say quote unquote truth, because he did it in the garden. He did it when he tempted Jesus. He basically distorted some of the scriptures, and it would be no different. And I don't know. I'm kind of a news junkie. It would be no different than taking somebody's speech, like say a 5, 10 minute speech, and one statement out of that speech, and then twisting the words around to basically say something that the speaker didn't even say. That happens all the time today. AI, all the time. So we see it happen all the time. People will distort the truth because they're trying to target somebody they don't agree with in order to tear that person down. And which I don't agree with, obviously, because it's not an accurate reflection of what that person said. But when you take somebody who's speaking the truth and then you eliminate their life through an assassination or something to that effect, that is just blatant evil. The subtleties of evil, as I said before, is when somebody tries to distort somebody's truth to tear them down because they want to silence. We see that through history. We see that through the church throughout history. Martin Luther, and I don't want to get too crazy in this because I just love history. Martin Luther was where they tried to silence Martin Luther in regards to allowing the people, the general population, to be able to read the word of God. At that time, the church was the only one who could interpret the scripture because they felt that the people didn't have the ability to interpret the scripture, but they wanted to limit the ability of the people to hear the scripture because if they heard it for themselves, the church would not necessarily have that control. And so when we look at the question, what is truth? By definition, truth is the property of being in accordance with reality or facts. It is a correspondence to reality. So when we understand, in conversation, what's true, and for example, use an example, is if the young boy is told by mom not to take a cookie from the cookie jar, and he does, and mom asks him if he takes a cookie from the cookie jar, and he says no, the truth of the matter is he did. And so there is a accuracy to fact reality And often we skew that because of the fear of getting caught. And of course, then we bring into the element of lie. Lying is the opposite of truth. So we understand the definition, and then there's a particular passage in the scriptures where the question of truth is asked. It says, when questioning Jesus, Pontius Pilate asked that very question. Multiple truth statements cannot all be true because it violates the law of logic. One of the things I took in seminary was logic. And that's why it's interesting. Very few people understand the laws of logic. But the law of non-contradiction, which
the color.
Fuchsia is spelled F. U.
Well, I lost my train. The law of contradiction, which means that two conflicting statements cannot both be true. For example, to use this example, it is common knowledge, has always been common knowledge, that there are two genders, male and female. Right now, there's a question, is that true? And so you have, and this is what Charlie debated a lot of, people are saying there's multiple genders. Well, the accuracy, the reality, the facts is there's only two genders. Now, people are going to differ with that simply because their ideology, their belief system, they have allowed themselves to be open to things that are not true. And because that is their ideology belief system, they are very adamant about believing that system. I don't know if you've ever seen a debate on this issue, but it's very prevalent in the college campus, and very prevalent. And that's really led to the whole LGBTQ, the whole kit and caboodle. And that's why when we have elements of truth, we have to be willing to stand up for it. Now, we're going to get into the discussion, because I'm very much respectful of people's difference of opinion, even if it violates truth, simply because you cannot win somebody over to truth until you have, quote unquote, respect. That doesn't mean you embrace their belief system, doesn't mean you embrace their ideology. But if you're going to have a discussion or a debate about truth, you don't first start off, you're wrong, I'm right. And that's very interesting, because we can have a differ of opinions. Our opinion always need to be based on truth, the facts, the reality, what is, and have a discussion about how do we then come to a common ground. You say you believe in multiple genders. How do you come to that conclusion? And if people are willing to be honest with themselves, most people are not, unfortunately. They hold so firm to their ideology, they're not even willing to consider what the truth is. That's where our society is today. And I don't want to get so caught up in the difference of belief systems, but one of the things we have to understand is, as believers, or even if you're not a believer, you always need to pursue truth, because truth is based on fact. Truth is based on reality. We all should live our lives based on what is true. And if we don't live our lives based on truth, then our foundation of our very existence is in jeopardy, and very, very weak in regards to how we're living our lives. I lost my train of thought. Sorry. If something is true, then the opposite of it is false. The danger of not standing for truth is then we will fall for whatever error is presented. And so we're seeing that played out right now. So basically what ended up happening, just to give you a little bit historical. Now, this is my opinion. So I'm just my opinion, my perceptive, but it's fairly easy to follow in regards to history. So when the school system, let's go back into the 20s and 30s, when the school system was infiltrated with an anti-God message, and it was ultimately prayer and Bible and all that stuff was taken out of the school system, Ten Commandments, basically a standard of what was accepted as true for the longest time. And it was interesting because it started in the school system. When do kids develop their ideology, their sense of what is right and wrong? They develop it in school, either from their parents or in school. You take away all those foundational elements of what truth is, and you open up philosophy, beliefs, ideology, what ends up happening? Truth becomes relevant. And when we have relevancy, then this is what's been happening in society for the last 100 years. You have relevancy, which is understandable from a respect perspective. You have a lot of different belief system. We should respect each other's belief system, but we should never cower in what is true. We stand up for truth because that's how people discern right and wrong. But what has happened is you can no longer have an opinion of what is right or wrong, because otherwise you're violating somebody's quote unquote civil rights, which is BS, to be honest with you. And so we understand there has to be an element of truth, because that's what we live our life on. And it's interesting, in John 8, 33 through 38, Jesus is confronted with the question of truth. Pilate, because he was just sentenced or brought in, they basically brought up false charges, lies against Jesus. Pilate, who was very objective, was basically the ruler of the Roman in that region, was very objective, didn't really know what the issue was other than the Pharisees brought Jesus and said he's guilty. And Pilate's like, okay, show me what he's done wrong. And this is the conversation that's going on prior to being sentenced. Pilate then went back into inside the palace, summoned Jesus, and asked him, are you the king of the Jews? He was trying to validate what the Romans or the Pharisees and the Jews were saying against Jesus. And then Christ says, is that your own idea? Jesus asked, or did others talk to you about me? Am I a Jew? Pilate, am I a Jew? Pilate replied, your own people and chief priests handed you over to me. What is it you have done? Jesus said, my kingdom is not of this world. If it were, my servants would fight to prevent my arrest by the Jewish leaders. But now my kingdom is from another place. He's talking about the spiritual kingdom. You are a king then? Said Pilate. Jesus answered, you say that I am a king. In fact, the reason I was born and came into the world is to testify to the truth. So in Christ's mind, what he's claiming is there is a truth, and I am the one testifying. I'm the one, i.e., am me and the Father one. He talks about in other passages. So when he's talking about the truth, he's comparing to what is out there in regards to the lies. He says, everyone on the side of the truth listens to me. So Christ is discerning there is an element of truth. And of course, Pilate responded, what is truth? Now let me compare, because like I said, what we're experiencing now has been throughout history. At the time that this was occurring, that Jesus was around, Rome, one, anti-God, other than they had their own gods per se, but it was not the God of the universe and the God that we worship in the Bible. I mean, they had all the different things of the malice, the evil. It was rampant in Rome. And so that's when Pilate is referring to what is truth. It was so distorted and everything was so accepted, very similar to where we're at today. So it's interesting when we look at truth from a perspective of history and where we're at now. In times of fear, we must have courage and stand up for what we believe in, as long as what we believe in is based on truth. When we stand in truth, we will always be in the right, but not all will agree, because truth is by its very nature divisive. This is the challenge we face. And when we look at somebody like a Charlie Kirk or a Martin Luther King or an Abraham Lincoln that stood up for against evil or against things that were not right, and those particular individuals were killed for it because they were silenced because they were offending somebody who didn't believe in what they believed in. And when I see that, it's the mark and acts of the enemy working in the minds and the hearts of people, trying to shut down discussion, trying to shut down truth, because the enemy dwells in darkness. People who were want to be okay with truth being relevant, okay, are okay with that, because one, they can live whatever they want to do and live whatever they want to kind of life they want to live apart from God. And so I reference Joshua because this is a period when the Israelites were coming through, and they were in lived in a culture that was very evil, Egypt at that time. They were in slavery. They were set free, going into the promised land where they were going to be able to live, worship, and praise God in freedom. And at this point, after 40 years of wandering, Joshua is taking over leadership, and they're entering a land that they're going to take over. And this is exactly what happens during that time period. At the death of Moses, servant of the Lord, Lord said to Joshua, son of Nun, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now, then you, all the people, get ready to cross the Jordan River into the land I'm about to give them to the Israelites. I will give you every place where you set your foot, a promise that God had made, as I promised. Your territory will extend from the desert to Lebanon. And God didn't deal. God didn't even, he said, I will give you the land I promised. He knew what they were going to face in regards to the enemies. He knew that the enemy did not worship God. He knew all of these obstacles, but yet he was saying, I promise these things are done. All you have to do is believe in me, believe in the truth. Your territory will extend from the desert to Lebanon and from the great river, the Euphrates, all the Hittite country to the Mediterranean Sea. No one will be able to stand against you all the day of your life based on the truth of the promises of God. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will never leave you nor forsake you. Be strong and courageous, because you will lead these people to inherit the land I swore to these ancestors to give them. Be strong and very courageous. Be careful to obey all the law my servant Moses gave you. Do not turn from the right or to the left, that you may be successful wherever you go. I.e., don't turn to those that are tempting you against truth. Stay focused on me. Stay focused on, because I am the truth. I am the way. I am the life. If you do that based on my promises, you will succeed. You will prevail against your enemies. We live in a time right now, we are surrounded by enemies. That's not necessarily the Christian faith. We just have people who are just evil, trying to get in situations of control. And normally people who are trying to hurt and silence are the ones that simply want to have control. And when you look at it from a perspective of good versus evil, evil wants to have control because then it can dominate. And a good example I shared earlier was Hitler. He wanted to dominate. I don't know if you all knew this, but Hitler went to religious school. He studied in seminary, and he was so bullied, and his life didn't turn out the way that he wanted. He had such a hatred for God. That's what ultimately led to some of the things that happened during Nazi Germany and World War II. He says, keep this book of the law always on your lips. Meditate on it day and night so that you may be careful to do everything written in it, i.e. the truth. Your life will be blessed because of what you do in obedience to my word. So then you will be prosperous and successful. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged. For the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. This is what keeps us silent. Our fear of the enemy, our fear of people not agreeing with us, our fear of standing out, our fear of what might happen. But it's interesting, and I've kind of watched this, and you know, many of you probably never even heard of Charlie Kirk before, and I'm just using him as an example. And the last week and a half or week since he's died, I mean, it's amazing. They had a 3 million person march in London. I mean, it's things like this, where somebody is recognized, even though many people may not have agreed with him, he stood up for what he believed in. He stood up in faith. He did it respectfully, regardless of what people in the media may say. I've listened to many of his debates. I never saw him disrespectful. He was very adamant about the disagreement because he focused on truth. We should never accept anybody who's basically contradicting truth. How we dialogue with them should be always respectful, because we're trying to ultimately get them to see truth, because we ultimately came to a point of truth as we struggled in our challenges of ideology and belief system. And I think we all have to be willing, if as long as we can embrace truth, we will be set free, and we've got to do it and have courage to do that. So I'm going to slow down because I'm getting real passionate. I want to take this moment right now just to really allow the time of worship to allow the Holy Spirit to give us guidance on how we are to proceed in our life, because ultimately, we all want to leave this world when it is the appointed time. We want to do it with a legacy of love. We want to do it with a legacy of courage. We want to do it with a legacy of good character that is left to our children and the people that we've touched. We don't want to leave a legacy of somebody who hated, who slandered, who used gossip, who was divisive. And we have that opportunity only as the Holy Spirit, only as the Word of God penetrates our hearts and minds, and we act out accordingly in obedience to that, so that we can ultimately face our Maker, who will say, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." So let me go ahead and open in prayer, middle of the message in prayer, and then share a song. Dear Lord, we thank you for your truth. We thank you, Lord, that you've given us a life, one life to make a difference. And that difference is made when we stand up for truth. We speak with kindness and love in a way to be able to influence and impact the people around us for good. And I thank you for your word, that you've given us the light, you've given us the direction, and you've given us your Holy Spirit to help us each and every moment. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. So let me share the songs that God gave me. Okay. First one is Stand in Faith. I thought I had him saved, sorry.
Can't escape disappointment. Avoid the delay, but I don't have to make feeling down and defeated the place that I stay. Gonna rise to the moment, gonna speak to the waves, gonna push back the doubt that keeps dragging me down when I can't find a way. Don't need to see it, eyes on you, to believe it from my never change to see miracles happen that no one can fathom as heaven invades. And it's more than a feeling, and it's anchored in praise. And when it's the darkest, it reaches the farthest and opens a way. Don't need to see it, eyes on you, or to believe it.
It says it's a season of healing, it's a season for change. And when we think about, especially historically, the people who have died for their faith, standing up for what they believed in, there's a term, the blood of the martyrs laid the ground in regards to fertile ground where people were just rocked. And we have an opportunity, you know, and I hate that it was on video, but video is often impactful to change our behavior. And we have situations, and I shared this last week with that young girl that was stabbed on the train. And the very picture of somebody getting stabbed and nobody doing anything about it is so powerful of where our society has come. And we have the opportunity to heal. Because I think much like 9/11, and I'm using the politics as an example right now, I don't think I've ever seen in my 61 years more division within our political system off a stupid ideology rather than focused on the unity of what the nation needs right now. And I think when we see this manifested in regards to video of the heartless murder of somebody, regardless of their mental health condition or whatever, and people who, quote unquote, did not have a mental illness stood there and did nothing. And it's like, that is a pretty powerful statement. And to me, no different than what happened with Nazi Germany. They turned a blind eye to what they knew was wrong. And we've got to be able to stand up for truth, stand up against those that are weaker, stand up and speak. How do we then come together in our similarities? Not our differences, because differences are divisive. 1 Corinthians 12 talks about that. We are one body. And we've got to focus on where do we come together as a human species in order that we stop the killing, we stop the murder, we stop the hate. And Christ said before he went to the Father, Father, I pray that they would be one as we are one, that the world may know that I came. And we have that ability, each and every one of us have that ability to stand up for what we believe in, not in a critical, condescending way, but in a loving way where we can begin to speak our truth and have dialogue that really makes a difference with people. I'm going to share the next song, which is, give me one second. I will fear no more, because when we fear, we dwell in the realm of the enemy who then controls us. And our actions, our behaviors, our thoughts.
Thank you. anxious thought that steals my breath. It's a heavy weight upon my chest. As I lie awake and wonder what the future will hold, help me to remember that you're in control. You're my courage when I worry in the dead of night. You're my strength 'cause I'm not strong enough to win this fight. You are greater than the battle raging in my mind. I will trust you, Lord. I will fear no more. I will lift my eyes. I will lift my cares. Lay them in your hands. I'll leave them.
Song, which is I played Fearless Soul before, and a powerful message. It's called I Won't Back Down. Give me a second to pull it up. And that's why when we are confronted with truth, which is really what we base our whole belief system on, and we as believers, we trust God and his word. And like the angel approached Joshua and said, be strong, be courageous. One, because the angel and the word of God is very clear about God's promises. We don't see into the future, but God is. He's already in the future. And as we trust him, we know he will take care of us. Most people, when we are confronted with truth, we've got to stand on what we know. And that's what stand on faith is about. We trust God. We speak our truth because, one, it's the very identity of who we are. But we also speak truth because we care about the lives of other people who are in error, who are in darkness. We do it in a way that brings them out of the darkness into the light. And that is why love is always our motive behind when we stand for truth, not only because we have to be courageous and we can't turn, betray our belief system in God so that we can be liked by others. And we've got to be able to stand firm in what we believe in, because the ability to do that will be impactful on the lives we touch.
Well, I won't back down. No, I won't back down. You could stand me up at
the gates of hell, but I won't back down. No, I'll stand my ground, won't be turned around, and I'll keep this world from dragging me down. Gonna stand my ground, and I won't back down. Hey, baby, there ain't no easy way out. Hey, I will stand my ground, and I won't back down. Well, I know what's right. I got just one life in a world that keeps on pushing me around, but I'll stand my ground, and I won't back down. Hey, baby, there ain't no easy way out. Hey, I will stand my ground, and I
song I'm going to share, called Strong. And recognizing that Christ basically said, we can do all things through him who strengthens us. And when we understand that our strength only comes as we abide and reside in him, and he will be and claims that we will be victorious as we trust in him. And that's something we have to recognize. The enemy was defeated at the cross, but he still has the ability to influence people in regards to the lie. And that's why this lesson has been focused on truth and our ability to stand on truth, stand on the rock, the foundation. Because Christ said, if you believe in the truth, if you build your life on the rock, the storms will come, but you will not be defeated. And we're going to face persecution. And I'm hoping I have time to share the lesson from the Beatitudes, where Jesus Christ basically stair steps. Once you go in your faith, you will be persecuted because of what you believe in. But the greater witness to that is you've left a legacy because you stood for what you believed in, and hopefully you're standing for what you believe in gave you the courage and the person that you're trying to influence the courage to accept truth. Because people who don't accept truth, i.e. there is no God, there's a consequence to that. And we stand for truth because we care enough to be able to witness to people in a way that's respectful and loving. And that's ultimately what we need to be able to do.
Strong, try to make them all think I'm strong. Yeah, the face I keep putting on says I ain't tired. But these tear-stained eyes ain't lying. Cause hard, nobody told me life could be so hard. A weary soul with a worn-out heart that's barely beating. But every time I get that feeling, I hit my knees with my hands held high, saying, dear Lord Jesus, you know I can't do this on my own. I can't do this on my own. Me up off the ground, the world's gonna try to break me, but I know
few more minutes. I want to share some last minute thoughts here. So let me share the rest of the outline real quick with y'all. And the songs that encouraged you. Matthew 5, 1 through 16. I'm glad this is the next verse I had because I want to share it with you. So Jesus lays out in the Beatitudes in regards to how we come into relationship with him and then what that relationship looks like. And I love it because it starts out where we all need to be. And he basically preaching on the hilltop. He said, blessed the poor in spirit. Poor in spirit basically is that you're broken in spirit. Often God used trial tribulation to break our spirit so that we will reach out to him for forgiveness and relationships. It's for theirs the kingdom again. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. The broken of the spirit, the comfort go hand in hand. That's how we will come to recognize God often breaks us of our pride, breaks us of our arrogance so that we recognize our need for him. Blessed are the meek. This is how we act out towards humility. That we've used the term hungry, humble, and smart. Meek are those that are humble but yet strong. Moses was recognized as one of the meekest men because he was a strong leader, but he was also humble. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. That is a righteousness for God. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to. So when you seek after good, when you basically come to recognize part of me is evil, the knowledge of evil, I want good because out of that which is good flows success, wonderful things, abundance. That which flows out of the part of me that's evil is only going to bring destruction and divisiveness. That's why he said, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. Blessed are the merciful. This is how we act out towards other people. As we come into relationship with God, we begin to be broken. We begin to be formed in the image of him. And we begin to have the same heart that he did. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. Blessed are the peacemakers. These are actual behaviors that we become as we surrender to God. And then it gets interesting. And this is why it really comes down to the lesson I'm talking about. Blessed are those who persecuted because of righteousness, say, for speaking the word of truth. Blessed are you when people insult you, persecute you, and falsely say all kinds of evil against you because of me. Rejoice and be glad because great is your reward. When we speak truth, when we stand up for what we believe in a respectful, loving way, we will be persecuted. Because understand, those that are in darkness, those that are controlled by the enemy, they seek to kill, steal, and destroy. We are called to stand up, be the salt of the earth, which basically means be willing to stand up for what you believe in, be willing to be that light. Your light is exhibited in your good works so that God the Father would be glorified. When we are able to be salt and light and be able to have a discussion with other people rather than being divisive, rather than being critical, because that's exactly what the other side will do to us, i.e. that's why many of these people have been killed because they were trying to be silent. They couldn't have an honest discussion debate based on truth. They had to eliminate the person speaking the truth, but all that did was basically fertilize the land so other people can rise up. I will not be surprised. I am praying for this, that in light of what's happened over the last month, we will see revival breaking out. We will say, hey, this division crap is enough. We're done with it. We've got to come together in commonality. We've got some serious problems in this world. And the only way we can come together is begin to come together in a dialogue debate about what matters most. When we follow truth after truth and take a stand, we will come against those who don't. Just as darkness cannot exist with light, truth often referred to as light. And much like light dispels darkness, truth dispels error. And we've got to be willing to stand up. John 3:19 through 21 says, this is the verdict. Light has come into the world, but people love darkness instead of light because their deeds were evil. Everyone who does evil hates the light and will not come into the light for fear that their deeds will be exposed. But whoever lives by the truth comes into the light so that it may plainly that what they have done has been done in the light of God. When people are arguing against their lifestyle, and we have somebody standing up to basically speak the truth and then do it in a merciful, graceful, loving way, that's when you see light and darkness confronted. And we as believers, as followers of Christ, we want to win over those that are in darkness because ultimately the consequences of their decisions, their actions will lead to their demise. And that's why we speak truth, because we care enough to recognize that this person is in the darkness and they will only be able to come to the light unless somebody goes into the darkness, i.e. the Holy Spirit-led believers like ourselves speaking in kindness and love, bringing them out. So I end on this passage here. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realm. Therefore, put on the full armor of God so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground, and after you've done everything, to stand. All we're called to is to be witnesses to what God has done in our life, doing it in a respectful, kind way. And I want to just close on this in conclusion. Those who despise the truth will try and silence those who stand for it. They tried to silence Jesus, Paul, the prophets, disciples, Lincoln, Martin, Luther King, Reagan, Trump, Charlie Kirk. We may not always agree with others, but we must always seek and pursue truth and never silence those that disagree with us. And so when we are confronted with where we're at today, we only have to play a part in our life, in our circle, in the people we impact. May we do it by speaking up with truth. May we do it with respect, and may we do it with kindness and love. So on that note, let me go ahead and close in prayer. Heavenly Father, Lord, we just want to give you praise and thank you. I pray that your Holy Spirit would give us the wisdom, the discernment, the guidance, teach us everything we need to know, help us to be able to communicate in a way that's kind and loving to those around us, to be able to be of conviction and committed to serving you and loving you as you reveal our purpose and our desire to serve you and love you. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you, everyone.
Amen. Have a blessed week.
Thank you. Have a good week.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Bye. Bye.